Welcome to the February 2025 News Bulletin podcast for commercial shipping marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our first podcast of the year with an introduction from IIMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear colleague, late last year I read an article that resonated with me and set me off on a train of thought because it concerned an issue facing not just the marine surveying profession but many other industry sectors too, even clubs and associations. The headline was "Grey Hair, Too Much on the Canals." What struck me was the correlation with the marine surveying profession. The article highlighted the need for younger people, with less grey hair, to step up and join the ranks. Let me assure you there is nothing wrong with grey hair per se. I have plenty, for with it comes knowledge, experience and expertise. But what happens when those grey hairs retire, fade away and disappear? Uncovering, educating and mentoring the next generation of marine surveying is becoming an ever more important and growing requirement. Continuing with the theme of the article for a moment, during the Inland Waterways Association's AGM, the issue of membership came up. This was not unexpected, and the subject wasn't discussed simply from a desire to increase IWA membership. It was to discuss the average age of the association's membership. The article mentions the lack of younger members, who are the future, wanting to take an active part and get involved. As a keen tennis player, I sit on my club's committee and indeed, we are all fully paid-up members of the grey hair group, and in some cases the no hair group. Trying to get younger people engaged to join the committee is far from easy, in fact, it is impossible. So, back to the business of marine surveying. As the profession inevitably evolves and new technologies emerge, where will the next generation of marine surveyors come from and what skills will they need to acquire to prosper? I don't have a simple answer any more than you do. In the UK we are short of construction workers and builders, health professionals, teachers, graphic designers, technicians and engineers to name but a few professions. Today's generation, it seems, just have a different attitude to work and see things differently. How do we make the profession attractive to younger people? And how do we train them? The future route into marine surveying looks different to the one trodden by the present generation in the main. Of course, there is one key difference with the surveying profession and that earlier list of skills in demand I referred to, insofar as for most surveyors, this is their second career. Many have grey hair when they start, but I am sure you understand where I am coming from and hopefully share my concern. Mentoring is something IIMS has talked about a lot over the years at board level, and the Institute is keen to try and develop a formal mentoring program. This too is fraught with challenges, but not insurmountable, I believe. The first step is to understand if there are enough willing potential mentors around the world to make this practical. Mentoring someone less experienced can be highly rewarding for both the mentor and the mentee. In the past, mentors were concerned about training another local surveyor only for them to take that newly acquired knowledge and pinch their clients. But with technology as it is these days, a mentor could be in a different part of the country to their mentee, which means this is no longer a factor. So, to start the process, I would encourage you to listen in below, and if this is something you would be keen to know more about, please express your interest in becoming a mentor. Survey well, Mike. For our first story, IIMS is announcing the Marine Surveyors, P&I Clubs and Loss Prevention, Collaboration for Safer Seas Conference. This one-day event will be held on Tuesday, 13th of May. It will be a hybrid online and in-person conference held at the Thomas Miller offices in central London. Save the date and watch for more details coming soon. More news from the Institute as IIMS is considering launching a formal mentoring scheme for members. If you are an IIMS member and interested in potentially becoming a mentor to other less experienced members and perhaps students, then we would like to hear from you, no obligation at this time of course. The Institute has assessed the possibility of developing a mentoring program but it is not an easy task. But thanks to an IIMS member who has come up with a blueprint, the proposal is now under serious consideration. But before any scheme can be launched, we need to know that there are enough potential mentors at worldwide locations who might be interested in doing this. For more details or to register your interest, please read the IIMS February News Bulletin at iims.org.uk. Moving on, Intercargo releases its annual review. Dry bulk ships are at the very heart of global trade, transporting iron ore, steel, coal, cement and grains. As the statistics of the Intercargo Bulk Carrier Casualty Report 2024 demonstrates, there is a clear trend of improved safety and declining ship losses at a time of fleet growth. Improved safety is largely thanks to constant learning, better crew training, improved ship design, new technology and stronger regulatory compliance. However, very sadly, major incidents involving loss of life have occurred, and we must pay close attention to the causes explained in this report. There is no room for complacency. As the voice of the dry bulk sector, Intercargo is determined to help lead the response to these events. They are working with their members, including ship owners and industry stakeholders, to do all we can to learn and protect the lives of the brave men and women who crew bulk carriers. Dry bulk ships are at the very heart of global trade, transporting iron ore, steel, coal, cement and grains. It is important to learn how best to protect the safety of seafarers and the vessels and their cargo from damage and loss. Read the report at intercargo.org. Next, the International Maritime Organization has released a document highlighting a proposal to amend a paragraph in the Fire Safety Systems Code. This initiative aims to resolve inconsistencies in how gasket construction requirements are applied across different IMO instruments. The proposal seeks to clarify and align the requirements for gaskets used in fixed fire extinguishing systems within protected spaces. Currently, the FSS code mandates that all components of discharge piping, fittings and nozzles, including gaskets, must be constructed from materials with a melting point exceeding 925 degrees centigrade. However, other IMO regulations specifically exclude gaskets from this high melting point requirement. This inconsistency has caused confusion and operational challenges for ship operators and system designers. Recognizing this issue, IACS initially issued a unified interpretation exempting gaskets from the melting point requirement but later withdrew it after SSE1 determined that an amendment to the FSS code would be a more appropriate and formal solution. The proposal stems from the understanding that gaskets in fire extinguishing systems are not critical to maintaining structural integrity under high temperatures. Their function remains intact during operation, even when their melting point is below 925 degrees centigrade. Furthermore, gasket failure due to heat only occurs after the intentional release of gas into the same protected space. This scenario poses no additional safety hazards to personnel or equipment. Given these considerations, the proposal suggests that the high melting point requirement for gaskets is unnecessary and that aligning the FSS code with other IMO instruments would standardize regulations without compromising safety. To address this, the document proposes an amendment to the FSS code. The suggested text reads, "All discharge piping, fittings, and nozzles in the protected spaces, except gaskets, shall be constructed of materials having a melting temperature which exceeds 925 degrees centigrade. The piping and associated equipment shall be adequately supported." For our next report, stakeholders and experts from Nigeria's maritime sector have expressed support for the Coast Guard Bill before the country's National Assembly, with many describing the proposed legislation as a boost to the federal government's efforts in securing the maritime space, the Nigerian Maritime Administration and Safety Agency said via a press release. In our next story, UMI has presented their stats report for 2024. Overall, the 2023 insurance year was positive for marine underwriters with market development seen across all lines of business. World trade continued to grow, which impacted positively on the global premium base, particularly for cargo insurance. The oil price appears to have stabilized, which is good for the offshore sector. To read the report in full, go to iims.org.uk/news. Next, classification society RENA has updated its rules for the classification of ships, with the revised regulations taking effect on the 1st of January 2025. Changes and highlights affect the following. Part A, classification and surveys. Part B, hull and stability. Part C, machinery, systems and fire protection. Part D, materials and welding. Part E, service notations. And Part F, additional class notations. You can find out more via RENA. Up next, Turkish customs authorities require vessels arriving at port in Turkey to declare the quantity of bunker oil on board upon arrival. However, there has been an increase in cases where discrepancies are found between the declared quantity and the actual quantity, and authorities have stepped up spot inspections in recent months, the Japan P&I Club warns. Following several incidents in recent months, the Japan P&I Club issued an update on the increasing trend in the area. Turkish customs have intensified unexpected inspections on board vessels arriving at Turkish ports to verify the quantity of bunker oil compared to the amount declared by the ship's command upon arrival. Find out more at www.piclub.or.jp. For our next report, the United States Coast Guard has issued a safety alert regarding the discovery of counterfeit pilot ladders during a port state control examination at the Port of Baltimore. Marine inspectors discovered counterfeit pilot ladders during a PSC examination at the Port of Baltimore. The identification plate on the ladder contained several errors, including referencing ISO 779-1 instead of the correct standard, ISO 799-1, and lacking the ISO 799-1 designation type. Additionally, while the serial number on the ladder matched the accompanying certificate, the number of steps and the length of the ladder did not align with the specifications listed on the certificate. The plate and certificate indicated that the ladder was produced by Qingdao Good Brother Marine Lifesaving Appliance Company Limited, a company that manufactures Solus-approved pilot ladders. However, in March 2019, the Australian Maritime Safety Authority identified counterfeit pilot ladders falsely bearing this company's name and Solus certification. Read the Coast Guard's recommendations at www.iamsusa.com. Next, the EMSA has published its annual overview of marine casualties and incidents 2024, which presents statistics on marine casualties and incidents that cover the period from the 1st of January 2014 to the 31st of December 2023. In 2023, most of the indicators, such as the number of occurrences, ships lost, fatalities or injuries, are near or below the average values for the entire period from 2014 to 2023. In 2023, 2,676 marine casualties and incidents were reported, which represent an increase of 49 marine casualties and incidents compared to 2022 and a decrease of 66 marine casualties and incidents compared to 2021. The total number of marine casualties and incidents reported in the period from 2014 to 2023 was 26,595, with an annual average of 2,660. The number of casualties and incidents in 2023 is 0.6% higher than the annual average and 0.7% higher than the pre-pandemic average of 2,658 occurrences. Read the report at iams.org.uk/news. In our next story, the UK Marine Accident Investigation Branch has released a report into a fire on board a Ro-Ro passenger ferry. On the 11th of February 2023, a fire broke out in the engine room of the roll-on, roll-off passenger ferry Stena Europe while on passage from Rosslare, Ireland, to Fishguard, Wales. The fire caused significant damage to the engine room, but nobody was injured and there was no damage to the environment. The fire was extinguished by the crew. Safety issues include the following. The fire ignited on a main engine when pressurized fuel from a loose fuel pipe connection sprayed onto a high-temperature exhaust pipe. Neither of the designed protections against fuel fires, spray shielding on fuel pipes and insulation of hot surfaces, were effective. The original fuel pipe connections had previously been identified as a system weakness, but the manufacturer's recommended modifications had not been fitted to the engine. The ship's crew were insufficiently trained to inspect engine fuel systems. The temperature measuring equipment used by the crew to monitor the engine exhaust insulation did not effectively identify any hot spots. You can read the full report on the IIMS website. Next, the United States Coast Guard has published a helpful compliance resource called Lithium Battery Guide for Shippers. The publication aims to assist shippers to safely package lithium cells and batteries for transport by all modes, including vessel shipments, with new regulatory requirements based on cell or battery configuration as well as watt-hour rating. You can download the PDF at www.iiamsusa.com. Up next, RightShip has announced a revised timeline for implementing its vessel inspection age trigger, reducing the inspection threshold from 14 to 10 years through a four-phased approach. The initial announcement of the inspection age trigger in October 2024 garnered valuable feedback from stakeholders. Constructive dialogue with RightShip's customers and respected industry has been instrumental in refining the approach to align with operational realities while reinforcing our shared commitment to safety. Find out more, including HAY highlights and the revised rollout plan at rightship.com/insights. In our next story, a DNV project has demonstrated passenger ships over 20 years old can also apply for in-water surveys instead of dry docking. Following the DNV analysis, the Bahamas Maritime Authority removed the 20-year age limit, allowing applications for all passenger ships under the provisions described in the revised Maritime Notice MN75. DNV initiated a study in 2023 to investigate if the age limit of 20 years for dry docking may be waived without having adverse effect on the ship's maintenance. You can read all about it and download the marine notice at dnv.com/news. Another story from DNV, the EEXI requirement came into effect on the 1st of January 2023, and all affected ships should now comply. To maintain compliance, any ship undergoing changes that affect its EEXI and/or EEDI may need to recalculate these. You can also find out more about energy efficiency compliance after alterations or conversions at dnv.com/news. Next, Pakistan will be building its first cargo ship in 40 years. Karachi Shipyard will build the container ship for Pakistan National Shipping Corporation for $24.75 million. The 1100 TEU container ship project was revived by the country's Special Investment Facilitation Council. The project is an opportunity for Pakistan to build ships at a lower cost compared to international prices, which supports the country's aim of reducing its dependence on foreign shipping companies. For our next report, Turkish law firm Esenyil & Partners has published of the new pollution fine tariffs that were applicable as of the 1st of January this year. The new fine rates were published on 27th of November 2024 in the Official Gazette and increased by 43.93%. Pollution fines are categorized into four groups, including A, B, C and D. An objection can be raised against the fine before the respective courts within 30 days as of the date of the service of the fine. If any dangerous substances or hazardous wastes are discharged into the sea, the fine will be 10 times the amount calculated using the category of petroleum and petroleum product fines as a basis. Regarding to previous amendment which was released in 2022, the pollution fine amount will be applied doubled if the pollution has occurred in the limits of the special protected area, which includes the Marmara Sea and some several ports. If it is decided to settle the fine, 25% discount will be applied if the fine is paid within 30 days as of the date of the service of the fine. Find out more about the recommendations, categories and fine amounts by searching online. Next up, Lloyd's Register has published new water on deck damage stability requirements for Ro-Ro passenger ships. The European Union has adopted Directive 2023/946. Which amends the water on deck damage stability requirements for Ro-Ro passenger ships in Directive 2003/25/EC. This new directive is intended to align the EAS stability requirements with the enhanced standards established by SOLAS 2020. Since 5 December 2024, the new directive is applicable for new and existing Ro-Ro passenger ships engaged on international voyages that operate regularly to or from a port of an EU member state, and which have never been certified in accordance with this directive or the previous Directive 2003/25/EC. You can find out more by visiting lr.org/en/knowledge. In our next story, Class NK has released guidance to assist in safely evacuating crew vehicle carriers in the event of a cargo hold fire. Additionally, the world's first notation, Additional Measures for Escaping from Vehicle Carrier, Electric Vehicle, has been established to indicate vessels equipped with additional measures to facilitate safe evacuation. Vehicle carriers often have accommodation areas and life-saving equipment, such as lifeboats and life rafts, positioned above cargo holds, with ventilation ducts for the holds located close to the accommodation spaces. As a result, flames and smoke from a cargo hold fire can affect these critical areas and evacuation routes, posing evacuation challenges and potentially compromising crew safety. In collaboration with shipping companies and shipyards, Class NK has compiled the risks and countermeasures for evacuation from vehicle carriers during fires in the risk assessment related to the safe escape from a car carrier. It covers various risks, including thermal effects, and suggests countermeasures such as spraying water on the decks, installing thermal insulation under lifeboats, and adding evacuation equipment to the forward mooring decks. Class NK has also set out requirements for granting notations to vessels equipped with additional evacuation measures tailored to each vessel's layout and issued the guidelines for the safe transportation of electric vehicles, Edition 2. You can find the guidelines at classnk.com. Up next, the US National Transportation Safety Board has published a report on a fire on board dinner cruise vessel, Spirit of Boston. An improperly extinguished chafing fuel heating canister, canned heat used to keep food and beverages warm, led to a fire on the passenger vessel Spirit of Boston last year while moored at the Commonwealth Pier in Boston Harbor. As a result of the investigation, NTSB has issued four new safety recommendations and reiterated a safety recommendation to the U.S. Coast Guard. On the 24th of March 2023, a fire broke out on the Spirit of Boston's first deck wait station after the scheduled cruise had ended, the vessel had docked and all passengers had departed. Investigators determined the fire started under a plastic glassware rolling cart after an improperly extinguished chafing fuel heating canister was unintentionally dropped by hospitality staff in the area. None of the service workers who were on board at the time of the fire were injured. All of the marine crew members had departed the vessel before the fire began. Without a properly trained marine crew member on board with the remaining hospitality staff, the emergency response plan for a fire could not be executed as intended. The NTSB found that the fire could have likely been extinguished before it grew had a marine crew member been on board at the time. Read the full report at ntsb.gov/news/press-releases. Next, the Liberia Maritime Authority has sent out recommendations for the carriage of plastic pellets by sea in freight containers. The summary of the recommendations are, first, plastic pellets should be packed in good quality packaging which should be strong enough to withstand the shocks and loading normally encountered during transport. Packaging should be constructed and closed to prevent any loss of content which may be caused under transport normal conditions. Secondly, transport information should clearly identify those freight containers containing plastic pellets. Additionally, the shipper should supplement the cargo information with a special stowage request requiring stowage as outlined in item 3 below. Finally, freight containers containing plastic pellets should be properly stowed and secured so as to minimize the hazards to the marine environment without impairing the safety of the ship and persons on board, either under deck wherever reasonably practicable, or inboard in sheltered areas of exposed decks. You can read the advisory at liscr.com/online library. Up next, Lloyd's Register has amended its rules for the non-destructive evaluation checkpoint regime at the new construction stage. These revisions apply to both commercial and naval ships and came into force on the 1st of January this year. The revisions include new requirements for the checkpoint regime where defects are identified. These amendments are also particularly relevant to multi-deck vessels. Find out more at lr.org/en/knowledge. And for our final story, we are sharing the obituary of one of our members, John De Freitas, written by his friend and colleague, Captain Alan Brink. Today, we gather to honor and celebrate the life of a truly extraordinary person, my dear friend, mentor and business partner, John De Freitas. John and I first crossed paths while working within the Rennie Shipping Group in Durban. He was a director at Rennie Murray & Company, the Lloyd's agents, and first was a marine surveyor with their sister company, P&I Associates. John was a man of remarkable honesty and unwavering integrity. When he left Rennie's, he made it clear that he would not approach any of his former clients before officially joining me. He couldn't guarantee that his move would bring additional business to our partnership, and he wanted to ensure everything was above board. A couple of months into working together, John visited his former clients, not to solicit business, but simply to inform them of his new chapter. Their response was astounding. They followed him to our company, demonstrating the immense respect and trust they had in him. To them, John wasn't just a representative of Rennie's, he was their surveyor. This trust was a testament to John's unparalleled character and the relationships he had built. Even in retirement, he continued to contribute to the marine surveying industry. He regularly visited the office, mentoring junior surveyors, consulting on projects and even building a client base of his own. John often joked that staying active in work kept his mind sharp, and it certainly did. He was a remarkable example of vitality and dedication. John was so much more than a colleague or a friend. He was a true gentleman, a mentor, and a confidant. He touched the lives of everyone who knew him with his warmth, wisdom, and unwavering kindness. To Eleanor, Marco, and Alex, may John's love, legacy, and the countless memories you shared bring you comfort, peace, and strength in the days ahead. We have all lost an incredible friend, an extraordinary man, and a rare soul. He will forever remain in our hearts and memories. Rest in peace, John. You will be deeply missed.